You are now tuned into the truth. You are now tuned into the truth. You are now tuned into the truth.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Truth Is with your girl, Ash. Today I wanted to talk about this idea of apologies, or, you know, this idea of when someone's done you wrong, you feel that you need the apology, or you're waiting for someone to say sorry as a form of closure or whatever. The reason why this came up for me was that a few weeks back, my husband and I, we were having a normal argument like couples do. And after we had, you know, reconciled and gotten over the issue, I wanted to apologize for some of the things that I had said during our little tiff or whatnot. And before I, you know, proceeded with an apology, I was concerned that he wouldn't believe that I was actually sorry. So I preface my apology by saying, what do you think about apologies? Like, do you think that when people say they're sorry, they're really, you know, being honest about it? Or are they just saying it in this obligatory manner or whatnot? And, you know, it's funny because he was just like, listen, I don't have to say sorry to you. You know, if I say sorry, it's because I mean it and I'm really sorry. Me apologizing is a choice. And his comment, you know, really stopped me in my tracks because I felt like at this point, you know, I felt like he was onto something. For the most part, I've walked around with this mentality that if I've been done wrong, if someone's committed an offense towards me, I not only deserve the apology, but I am looking for it. And, but he's 100% right. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, no matter what, that person doesn't necessarily owe you an apology. And I was thinking about a friend of mine who is currently going through a divorce, and I do believe that she's handling it really, really well. Handling it as well as one could handle it. But one of the things that I notice that she mentions a lot when we do talk is that she, you know, will say about her, you know, soon-to-be ex is that, you know, it's just like if he would apologize, you know, it would make things so much easier. Like a simple apology goes a long way, which is a saying that we hear often. So in my mind, I'm like, well, I think she's handling the divorce pretty well because there's so many factors that could go along with divorce, especially when there are children involved. Clearly, she is, in her heart, she's not even trying to get back with him or trying to reconcile the relationship, but she wants an apology. And my belief is that she wants this apology because she feels like she should be validated, you know, with all that's happened. And unfortunately, I mean, it's been months and he hasn't said sorry. And the reality is he may never say sorry. Some people don't say sorry because they don't feel like it or they don't truly feel sorry despite what's happened. Sometimes people don't say sorry because they don't even know that they did something wrong. So they don't even know that they should be sorry. You know, I think this thing about us feeling validated or feeling like we deserve it, for me, I can only speak for myself, comes from like R&B songs and romantic comedies that have told us that the much deserved apology will, if we get it, we'll feel better. We'll get that closure that we're looking for. So it's like suddenly the apology is symbolic for closure. But truth is, y'all, that's some bullshit. It just isn't. It just doesn't necessarily fill it. Yes, I do admit that I do, that an apology can go a long way if, you know, given, but it doesn't mean that even in it going a long way, that it's going to now heal the wound. It's not going to necessarily make everything better. I think it helps the healing process, but I don't think it necessarily fixes everything. I remember when I was, you know, a couple years out of graduation, I was waiting for an apology from someone that hurt me. And I think I waited, about a year or two after college. And so, yeah, so basically I was crazy about this one guy in college, which is usually how it starts, right? There's always some dude in college that, you know, I mean, he broke my heart. We're just going to keep it real funky, brokenhearted. But I digress. But there was this one guy who had me sprung, basically, something serious. And I was very caught up. Like, all my friends from undergrad can tell you that my conversations throughout my time in school was usually about him when we were talking about relationships or dudes that we liked or whatever the case may be. And the thing is, I was around him a lot because he wasn't just some dude that I was crushing on in like my Caribbean lit class or some fine ass professor that I had a little crush on or whatever. He was my friend, like an actual friend, like somebody that I used to rock with. You know, we used to play music at his crib and just chill. I mean, we did Netflix and chill before Netflix and chill was a thing, minus like the romantic part of it, I guess. We watched movies. We would go to the farmer's market on Sundays, have drinks at the local bar. I mean, for all intents and purposes, he was my homie before being somebody that I was crazy about. And, you know, it's very common that you fall for a friend. So I fell hard. And even when I fell for him, he was with someone. He was already in a relationship. But that relationship didn't last. And our friendship continued over the years. So even past him being with that individual and that ending, we were still tight. So, you know, and in my mind, in my young 20, early 20-something-year-old mind, or not even, I was 19, 20, I thought that the end of that relationship meant that there was room for us to grow into something more, delusional at best. And that delusion actually was heightened or, you know, increased because one Halloween, in a drunken stupor, he half-ass admitted that we should be some kind of something, you know? And gosh, I was so hyped. I was so hyped at his drunken confession because for me, it was like finally, it was the thing that I'd been waiting for, this verbal confirmation that all the googly eyes or our extended hugs or lingering smiles between one another, that wasn't in vain. Like I wasn't making it up. Like when my friends and I would sit and dissect these moments when we'd hang out, like it wasn't me playing, pretending or making something up in my mind. Like it wasn't me living in the land of make-believe. Like this was real. And yeah, I would have preferred the confession to be, you know, when he was sober. But at that point, you know, I was young. So like a dumbass, I thought that this was great. You know, I was just going to take that. And I took it and I ran with it. And so I like got the courage to like ask him out, like out instead of just like our regular, hey, you want to go to wing night? It was like official, like I'm going to ask him out. And he was older and made more money. So whenever we went out, he often paid for it. But I was like, I want to take my little college chump change and take us out and, you know, try to see where this could go. And I mean, gosh, I remember this very sad day like it was yesterday because I asked him to go out with me to the local bar by my school. And like I said, I was going to treat him and whatnot. And I remember thinking in my complete naivete that he would bring up Halloween night and his confession and we would like talk about it. But instead, the night played like an awkward date, which sucked because remember, we're friends. And I hated feeling awkward with him because even though, you know, I'm thinking this might grow to be something, that was what I loved about being around him. I always felt comfortable. I always felt at ease. And in this moment, it was just really freaking weird. Like the ride back to my apartment was different. Like you could just, the energy was just off. Like it just wasn't normal for us. So me being the upfront, you know, person that I am, I hit him up the next day and asked him what happened to Halloween. I'm like, you know, what happened to all the stuff that you were saying? And yeah, you know, like at one point he was just like, you know, when he was drunk, he was like, you know, it's whatever you want to do. You know, the ball is in your court. And I remember I was dissecting this language, like the ball is in my court. When you say, like, did this like for a whole day before I had gotten the strength to ask him out. And then it just kind of all went to crap because when I did bring him up, when I confronted him about it, guys, he denied. He feigned any knowledge of the drunken confession. And it hurt because not only did I feel like a fool because I'm like thinking this thing is going to go down and we're going to be something. But I'm also like, this happened. People were there. There's like, we have witnesses, you know what I'm saying? And if this is a court of law, dude, you'd be like so wrong right now. But I was also hurt because he's my friend. And I'm thinking to myself, why would my friend lie to me like that? Like, even if you didn't want it to go that way, even if you felt like you made a mistake, you, even if you had feelings and you were just like, but I don't really think we should do anything or I'm not ready for that. You could have said all that, but he didn't, you know, he literally acted like it didn't happen. And the thing that I know that my father always taught me was that drunk men tell no tales. So if you drunk and you saying what you saying, more times than not, that's how you really feel. And, you know, you just had some liquid courage to say what was really on your heart. And for you to renege on that, it's just foul. And it's like you're doing it to someone that's your actual friend. So I was so hurt, like I told y'all. And because I had just this in my mind, I had pictured this, the way things are going to be. And like, we already like, you know, we mesh well, we have chemistry, we're already homies. Like, this is a great transition into some type of relationship or, you know, becoming some kind of something. But it was actually a total bust. So now you cut to a few years later, our friendship maintained. And one night I was hanging out with him in his room and we were being more physically flirtatious than I think we had ever been before. So long story short, after this 8-month drought that I had been in, I was finally blessed with some, well, you can imagine. So got that out. Was really happy about that. And I was a little older then. So I wasn't believing that, you know, while we had a moment, if you will, we were going to become something special and we were going to be in a relationship and maybe get married and have mocha babies, like my friend used to say about us. No, I was a little bit more clear-headed about the direction that things could go. So I figured, okay, he's my friend and he's flaked on me before. You know, Halloween was that Halloween night. That one Halloween night was a disaster. But it's cool. We've maintained, you know, a friendship and I'm not looking to be in a committed relationship. I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to play myself, but I am a bit of an opportunist and women have needs too. So I felt like, why not try to secure some consistent D? Like, why not? Like, if you're going to get some, why not get it from somebody you trust, right? He was my friend. I trusted him and we were both single. So to me, it seemed like a really pretty, like a pretty smart setup. But as you guys may imagine, I got the shutdown again. So when I womaned up and talked to him about it, and I proposed this as a, you know, a really great option, like an actual verbal proposal, if you will. And instead of him being real and saying, "Osh, I don't feel comfortable doing this for fear that it could negatively affect our relationship," or "I don't want to mix emotions in it," blah, blah, like whatever speech he could have, you know, given me. Instead, he just was like, "Oh, I was just trying to help you out with your sex drought." And I'm just like, "You're a freaking asshole. Like, you still playing the games and you still fouling me out. And again, you are supposed to be my homie. Like, where in this friendship did I show you that you couldn't be honest with me?" You know, and it was bugging me out at the time. So the last straw was when I asked him to help me look for a car. At the time, I'd graduated at this point, but I hadn't moved back home to New York. So I stayed where I was staying where I went to school. And at that point I needed to get around because I'm not on campus and I don't have the benefit of like the shuttle bus and all that, you know, and you just want to have a little bit more independence with a car. You moved, got a job, all that type of stuff. So, he's really into cars and he was like one of the few male friends that I had there, you know, separate from family. So, you know, and so with that knowledge and having, you know, another guy, not to say that women can't go out and buy cars, but you know how people can be sexist towards women when we're going to buy a car. I just felt safe going with him. And this is something that he knew about, he'd agreed to, was totally down to help me with. And I mean, I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be like old times. So I swear this would be one of those moments where it would be just us, like old times. We'd go look for the car, chop it up, crack jokes, whatever. And Instead, he picked me up and there was a chick in the car. And I was just like, word though? And it was obvious that like, actually that's not even what happened. I got dropped at his house. I think my friend dropped me at his crib. And when I got there was a girl there and she'd like come out of his room. And you could tell, like, obviously she spent the night. It was somebody that he was dating or whatever. Like, it was very obvious, right? And I remember my heart sunk. And it wasn't because I was madly in love with him or anything like that. It was more like, word? You just gonna play me like that? Like, why did you even say that you could help me? Like, and you know that I have feelings for you and like, it's not to say that he can't be with somebody, but it's like, you come on. Like, you just can't even keep it funky. And I mean, in all fairness, he doesn't owe me an explanation, but it was just like, you couldn't shut me down kindly with words and have a private moment with me like so many times that we had. But that's the way you give me a heads up, just like knowing that I'm coming over and knowing that we had set this date up to go look for this car for me. And out of all the days, this is, you know, so then whatever. So we end up going and she ends up coming with us. So I'm sitting in the back and I feel like a child. And it was just really embarrassing. And again, it was awkward going back to the date, quote unquote date that I tried to set up for us a few years back. So at that point, I was just like, you know what? You can't be a man about it. You're acting like a 17-year-old boy. And instead of, you know, keeping it funky with me, you're keeping it real in these really ass backwards ways. And all it's doing is leaving me in tears and feeling embarrassed. Like, that's not cool. Like, I'm walking away feeling like a damn fool. Because I remember after I got home, I was talking to my friend slash roommate and I was just like, do I look stupid? Like, is something wrong with me? And, you know, so at that point I just said, you know what? I can't keep playing myself. So after enduring all that bullshit, I decided, you know what? It's time to move back home and start all over again. Because everything wasn't working. The job wasn't working. The love life wasn't working. I needed to just get away. I had my time there in college and a couple years after. And while it was good, it was just time to start over. So I wanted so bad for him to have a real conversation about what was really going on between us. You know, all the unspoken shit, all the googly eyes, the palpable chemistry, all that stuff that everybody saw, including his friend and roommate. Like, we had, you know, explicit conversations about it. And I remember his friend told me, he was like, you need to just let it go because he's not going to be real with you. He's not that type of person. And I wanted so badly for him to be someone that he wasn't. And more than anything, I just wanted him to say, sorry, Ash, like, I'm my bad. Like, I'm sorry I can't be that dude. I'm sorry that I played you so many different times. I mean, something. And for so long, I believed that if he would come around and sit me down and say my bad for all the years of playing with my heart, that I would feel better, that I would get my closure. But truth is, that never happened. This situation was the first lesson that I needed. And I didn't even think about it until after, you know, having this interesting conversation last minute about apologies. But it was the first lesson that I needed in understanding that closure does not always come from the person. Sometimes you have to find it on your own. Like my husband shared with me, no one owes you an apology and you can't rely on that as the thing that will get you the closure you need. Like, it's nice. It's almost, in a lot of cases, you know, the cherry on top, you know what I'm saying? But because if you're able to work through your problems and through your issues on your own and you can get that closure and you can move on without the apology, you're good. But if you ever get it, it's, you know, it's really nice. You know, it's almost like you kind of want to be in a place where if you give it to me, I totally appreciate it and I would take it. But if I never get it, I'll be okay. And I think about my friend going through the divorce. And while I know that she will in the end be fine, I wonder, you know, how much she holds on to this need or this desire for that apology. And I know for me, I'm never getting that apology. And it clearly doesn't matter now. But I did think that because we were friends, I was definitely going to get my apology. But the truth is we weren't friends, at least not the way that I thought we were. And that sorry wasn't going to come. I had to get over it on my own. And it took time. It took, you know, a lot of time because you question things. You're trying to figure out if it's you. Did you do something wrong? And again, you listen to this music, you watch these movies and you think like, well, this happened. They got an apology. Like, that's the way it should happen. But it's TV and it's music for a reason. It is not real life. So, you know, to me, I think people, we need to understand that when all is said and done, you can, there are other tools and resources that you can access to heal from something that hurt you. I think the best that you can do, because, you know, that saying, like, you can't control what others do, you can only control what you do. Yeah, well, that means that you can't control the apology that you may never get. You know, all you can do is work through whatever issues you have or however you felt about it, whether that means talking to someone that you trust, like a friend or a therapist or going to church or whatever it is. But don't get so stuck on the need for the apology because it may never come. It just may never come. And this particular guy was the type of person that was really good at avoiding. You know, he didn't want to have the hard conversation. And I don't even think that it's because he's incapable of apologizing. But in order for me to even get to that space, we would have had to have the hard conversation. And it's just not something he could do. I don't know if he's able to do that now because we don't really talk like that. And who knows, he may have evolved emotionally since then. It's been a long time. But some people just aren't capable. You know, some people can't even get to that space. And you have to have faith in yourself that you can get to a place of healing without a sorry, you know. I mean, I did. Moving back home was definitely the best decision that I made. It gave me an opportunity to regroup and assess what mattered to me. And it also helped me to accept that we weren't going to be the same duo we were when I was in college. And that whole, you know, saying about people are in your life for a season, it's very true. You know, I don't regret what we had at all as friends. I don't even regret the googly eyes and the flirtation and all of that. Like, that stuff was a part of my 20s and, you know, it was a part of my college experience. All the good and the bad I'll take with it. And even looking back in retrospect, I laughed more with him than I cried over him. So at the end of the day, it's all good. You know what I mean? But I was happy that I accepted the apology, that the apology wasn't going to come. And it also allowed me to stop being mad at him for it because I realized that I was over, you know, it. I was already starting to get over having feelings for him in this way that I thought something was going to happen and be special, which is why I was even able to get to a space where I could be intimate and keep it moving. Like, it wasn't like I didn't date other people or hang out with other dudes. Like, that definitely was still happening. I didn't stop my life for this individual because I was waiting for something to happen. But so while I was, you know, shedding the emotions for him in a romantic way, the hurt came more from the fact that we were friends and I just couldn't understand why, as my friend, he just couldn't have that conversation with me and be real with me and truthful and say sorry. But I was glad that I was able to get over that space because I didn't want to hate him. You know, at the end of the day, like, he's a good dude. You know what I mean? So my feelings about apologies, are starting to align with my husband's thoughts about it. People don't owe you an apology. If you did something to someone and you're really sorry, then you say it because you are sorry, because you don't have to apologize. And you're apologizing because you truly feel bad and you truly feel like you wronged the individual. And if you're not, then you already know, like Beyonce says, sorry, not sorry. I ain't sorry. So, you know, and even if you did something wrong, but you ain't sorry for it, it is what it is. Or, you know, you just got to be honest with yourself about how you feel if you did someone wrong. And if you're on the receiving end of being hurt, then accept that while you may have been wronged, you shouldn't hold your breath for that apology because it may never come. Sorries can help the healing process move quicker, but you can most definitely heal without one. And the quicker you accept that might mean the quicker you'll heal anyway, right? So just wanted to just share that with you guys. It's funny because while I'm pulling from my own personal experience and I shared, you know, about my friend who's going through divorce, I literally got a text from another friend who's away right now, and she is upset because a few of her friends did something really foul. And she's just like, you know, in reference to my previous podcast about managing expectations, she did, they fouled her out. And you would think that they would say sorry, but even based on the story that she, the way she broke down the story to me, I don't even know if they know that they fouled her out. I really don't. And that's not to excuse what happened, but it does make me think that sometimes you're not getting the apology because people don't even know that they did something wrong. Sometimes we're just so caught up in our own shit that we can't think about other people, that we're not allowing ourselves. We're being blocked by our own selfishness or stress of our own lives or whatever it is. There's so many reasons. And so my advice to her was to simply say, look, you need to tell them that you felt like they fouled you out and give them the benefit of the doubt and allow for a space for an apology or an explanation of sorts to come. But you need to be okay with the fact that it may not come. And then decide what you want to do from there. But I'm always going from, you know, I'm always coming from the place that you should still say something, because if it bothers you, you should say something. And even me, I punked out years ago. I didn't say anything to him. I didn't even tell him that he hurt me. You know, I didn't say, and maybe if I did say those things, I would have gotten the apology, but I just kept thinking, well, we're friends, and he's making these intentional choices, like by having some chick at the crib, knowing I'm coming over to go look for a car with him. Like, these are choices that you're making consciously. So how do you not think that that's not going to hurt me? But how do you not think that that's, you know, messed up and you should probably say sorry? But, you know, I never came out and said, yo, all this time, or when you did this, you know, and I was thinking this, and obviously it was something else, and you never said anything to me. By not being honest or being upfront with him, I never really even gave him the space to get that apology. So that's me playing a part in that, you know. I can't speak for my friend who's going through divorce right now, but like I said, my advice to my other friend was just let them know and go from there. You know, give them the benefit of the doubt at the very least, even though everything says they messed up and I really can't see how they would justify what happened. It doesn't mean that they're not clueless, because oftentimes we think people know what they're doing to us. And I have learned that that's not always the case. Oftentimes that's not always the case. It seems bizarre, but you'd be surprised. So, you know, remember, you got this. You don't need the sorry. It's definitely nice. It is the, you know, the cherry on top, the icing on the cake, the whatever. But if you're going through and someone's hurt you, just be honest about it and know that even in you being honest with them, you may not get that sorry. And that does not mean that you will not get closure. You will definitely get it. A sorry does not equate to closure. All right. Thanks again, guys, for listening. You know where to find me, SoundCloud, iTunes, and I'm now on Stitcher. Also, you can just go to truthis.podomatic.com or find me on my blog at www.theheartofconversation.co. And definitely hit me up on Twitter at truthis25. Share with me, you know, instances where you thought you were going to get a star and you never did, and how you came out on the other end. And also, remember, the truth will set you free. But first, it will piss you off. Till next time.